Hello and welcome to the Dream Freedom Beauty Podcast. I'm your hostess, Natalie Ross, and if this is your first time listening, welcome. This show, this podcast is all about helping you to stand in your power as a loving, conscious co-creator with nature and spirit. You are nature, you are spirit, you are consciousness unfolding and experiencing itself. And these conversations are intended to help awaken that in you in ways that are useful for you in your everyday life. And this week's guest is Vanya Vukalik of Miracolabe. And you may have come across her on Instagram, and maybe you think it's pronounced Miracolab, but it's Miracolabe. And she's an artist who draws these whimsical worlds of the connections between plants and people and the creator. It's so cosmic, it's whimsical, it's mystical. Her drawings go straight into your subconscious and pull out whatever it is that's lurking there that's ready to come to the surface. She describes them as visual meditations, as vehicles of ascension. So I'm really excited to bring to you this very special woman and her perspective and take on what it is she does. I hope you enjoyed this conversation. And before we begin this conversation, I want to say a huge thank you to all of my Patreon supporters. You are amazing. For those of you who have been supported by the podcast, if you feel like giving forwards in reciprocity, you can feel free to contribute $1 a month, $5 a month, whatever it is, to help produce the show, to have it edited and have the show notes made so that we can keep on making this show for you and for us as a community, as we evolve and grow and reconnect within ourselves, with nature, and with each other. And one more thing. If you're looking at the logo, check it out on your little iTunes or Android podcast app or on the website, wherever you are. I want you to really look at it. And I want you to know if you know what those little things are in the bottom with the little like chemical looking things. Anyone who knows, hop on Instagram and send me a DM, get with a guess, and I'll let you know if you're right. And this lovely image was co-created with Stina Sweezy of Mother Mountain Herbals, who I reached out to a few months ago. And it all began with this vision from a willow tree for a new look for the show, for how this image can hold the energy of what I and we do here on Dream Freedom Beauty. So thank you, Stina. This is not what she does for a living, so please refrain from reaching out and asking her to design, because she'll probably say no, because she's a busy woman who's running her own business, which I do want you to reach out and check out. It is Mother Mountain Herbals. And Mother Mountain Herbals is based in Western North Carolina in the mountains. And Stina there creates special handcrafted small batch goods with traditional Western herbs. And the plants she uses are homegrown and organic and sustainably wildcrafted. And they're amazing different things you can check out that she offers. You can learn more about her on her Instagram at Mother Mountain Herbals, which no matter if you're interested in buying stuff or not, go check her out because it's really fun to be in her world. So Mother Mountain Herbals on Instagram, and check out her beautifully blended teas and her very gentle, loving, kind to your skin organic body products. So thank you, Stina. Mwah, you're the best. Thank you. And I hope you all enjoy this show. Make sure you stick around to find out how you can listen to the secret episode, and I'll see you on the other side. Welcome, Vanya, to the show. I'm excited to talk about all things mystical with you today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Uh-huh. And would you like to lead us in an invocation or prayer?
Sure. I would be happy and honored to. I would like to say a prayer that I actually wrote this morning. So if we can all just come into a place of stillness, close our eyes, and hold both hands on our heart. Deep inhale and exhale. And repeat after me. May my soul flower and be free. May each breath nourish me so sweet. May my intentions, my words, and my actions be blessed and charged with love today and all days. May the moonlit sky lift my spirits high. And may this conversation today bless all our relations. May it flow with joy and healing, and may it open doors into deeper seeing so that our search through nature leads us to ourselves. And inhale and exhale.
Wow, that's beautiful. What a great prayer and intention to carry.
Well, it's something I wrote this morning, but something similar I put out into the universe every morning that I wake up. So I want to bless my hands, my heart, my thoughts, my actions, and my mind, so that everything I create, say, and do is received in the world with that blessing and healing, so that it may carry on, you know. So,
yeah. I want listeners to hear that she does that every morning, and that's something I feel very strongly about too, is to take time every morning to attune and align to whatever it is you want to be bringing into the world, in a sense.
Exactly, because I think there's all healing stems from our relationships, right? So we have to send something and an intention into the world before we even step out of the bed, you know. So, no matter how you're feeling, no matter what you're seeing, no matter how the day is going or your mood is, I think it's important that we kind of step out of ourselves and see a bigger picture.
Right, step out of the little self that might be like,
yeah, no, I don't want to go to work, or I want to watch Netflix the whole day, you know. It's like, yeah, you can, but you can still send good intentions, and you can still do something with your day that's not just, you know, a distraction. Mm-hmm.
May the whole world be blessed while I sit in bed and watch Netflix all day.
Not all day.
I don't think I could. But you know what? Now that I've said I don't think I could, then the situation will come about that shows me that I could. And I'm like, ah. Do you get that when you say, oh, I couldn't do that? And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, actually, you come face to face with a situation where you could.
Oh, that's the story of my life.
Okay, I'm glad I'm not the only one.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's lessons, right? Like when we say no or never, I don't do this, then the lesson presents itself. And it's like, you know, you're not that evolved as you may think. So here's a lesson to kind of, you know, just humble you down a little bit.
or to show you how extremely powerful creation is, because we think, oh no, that's not possible, and then creation and creator's like, wait, whoa, what?
Exactly, not everything is as we imagine, so let's just be open and surrender to what is, right?
Yeah. So there's so much amazing stuff to talk with you about, because for anyone who's seen your art, they also, I'm guessing, most likely feel your art too. And for listeners who maybe aren't familiar with you, let's see, you can follow along, listeners, if you haven't seen Vanya's art. You can go to Instagram, MeraKilabbe. And okay, I'm going to try to say this right. Merakalabe.
Yes.
Okay.
Did it.
So there it is, everybody. Merakalabe. And you can follow along and check out the art, her art, as we're talking, and get a feel for what we're talking about. So Vanya, what do we ask you first? And this is kind of funny. I was journaling this morning about what to talk about with you, and this question came up that was, I'm like, is this cheating? Like, what would you ask yourself? I've never asked anyone this, I don't think, on the show.
What would I ask myself?
Yeah, and you know what? Actually, I'm thinking, let's plant that seed and come back around to that at the end and see what shows up. What do you think of that?
I think that's a fantastic question.
Okay. Okay. Because yeah. I feel like it needs a little time to marinate.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's too many questions I ask myself. So it's going to be a matter of how do I choose which one?
Right? I know. Yeah. 6 hours later, we're asking the questions.
Maybe in a few months, we'll come back.
So yeah, I love your art. You describe it as minimal surrealism, as vehicles of ascension, and part of your intention is restoring the awareness and connection between women and Earth. And that's immediately apparent when you look at it. I mean, you seem to put into form the intangible, and that's, I think, why it's so, why people resonate with it so much. They're like, you have represented something that I feel but couldn't put into words or form, and here you've gone and done this. Wow. So
thank you.
Thank you for doing that great service to all of us, so we can see ourselves reflected in this and get a greater understanding of our place in nature or in life or whatever it helps people to experience. I'm wondering about your connection with nature and your connection with the devas, the plant spirits, and the nature spirits. And how would you describe the physical workings of your relationship? Like, do you make offerings? How do you stay in contact with them day to day? How do you talk with them? What does your relationship with them look like?
Well, I think entirely the relationship is that ineffable connection that I receive through visions and dreams.
Yeah.
You know, so I feel everything for me is a matter of feeling and intuition. And quite frankly, I don't have much physical connection. Like, I don't tend to gardens, or I don't, just go into nature and spend my days frolicking nude every single day. This is not necessary to be in contact with nature, because we are nature ourselves. And this is something I learned since my childhood. So I think I would like to explain first what the devas maybe are, for those who are listening and are not aware.
Sure. Go for it.
So the deva, basically, they're the plant spirits, and they come from the Sanskrit language, and they're spiritual forces, basically, that they're behind nature. They're nature spirits. They're the architects of life, basically. They're the unseen, the other side of nature, keeping everything alive. And the word deva really means body of light. So how I assimilate this connection with devas through my art is that direct link of growing plants out of the necks, right?
Yeah.
So we are plants. They are our ancestors, right? We are very much like plants. We receive nourishment from above and below, like a tree. And the plants are symbols of our soul. So I try to kind of express that soul through my art and dreams. And it's also a responsibility to tend to that collective mind and heart, to take us into the earth a little bit deeper. And, you know, kind of every single deva that I'm in contact with, that I communicate with, comes through dreams and visions. And how to tap into that is through silence, meditation, and spending time in nature. And in this computer age, we're becoming very distant from and separated from Earth and nature spirits. Like, devas, elementals, they have been pushed aside in the corner of, like, fantasy and wishful thinking and the new agey, you know, like, concepts. But I've had the experience of being gripped by something stranger than myself, something stronger than myself. And that experience had led me to actually creating art and discovering myself. So that is the connection I have with them, is a direct contact with nature and bringing their messages of healing into the world. Because I think that's what my responsibility is, really. It's a duty. I think that's the duty of all art, I think, to tend to the collective mind and heart, you know. Mm-hmm. Every artist in mythical arts helps build the kind of like spiritual pyramid of ascension to higher dimensions. And I think in order to do that, we need to be one with nature. So that's it.
Mm. And what's funny is, and you touched on this, is we are nature. We are one with nature, but we've just forgotten that. We've othered nature, and it's outside of us.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and that's what it is. It's like I'm trying to create art to reconnect, not just women. I'm drawing women because this is my expression of myself. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to depict this cosmic energy. The source of divine creation is mother energy, right? Like the Vedic rishis describe the cosmos as Devi Loka, that's the cosmic mother. So the nature in her own divinity is feminine, is female, right? But that does not apply just to women. Do you know what I mean? Like,
there's
so many layers to that. But I think we are nature. People often ask me, so what do you search for when you go into Earth? I cannot search into Earth. I can only search when I'm outside of it. You know, so mm-hmm. I am one with the Earth. At times I feel I'm like spread out over the landscapes and I'm in every tree and every raindrop and so on. So it's really anchoring that awareness. That's what it is.
Through your practices of meditation and silence and being in nature and drawing.
Exactly, and journaling, mm-hmm. and just telling your thoughts, and nothing can be fully received without silence. And I feel silence for me is the key element to my creativity and connection to higher dimensions. So, you know, being silent and spending time alone has been one of the most valuable and wholesome aspects of emerging these visions. And as I grow, I'm realizing that there's some kind of higher something. I don't know what the name is it, but there's something that's trying to communicate these messages that the world needs. And I think all of us contain that capacity. And I'm just trying to share through my art the knowledge of the, you know, wisdom that we all carry inside, and we just need to tap into it in order to share our authentic individual gifts.
Mm-hmm. And this represents such a paradigm shift from our lone wolf, all for themselves, like competitive society. And I know as a child of this society, for me, it's been sometimes extremely difficult to disentangle that my conditioning with what else is possible. And I'm wondering what, if you had that experience, and what helped you sort of move through or see through this conditioning, or maybe you didn't have it. I don't know. But
well, I think we all have it.
Yeah.
It just manifests itself differently in all of us, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, I'll just tell a story if you don't mind. I came to do the art, and it's releasing that conditioning and oppressions. And I was working retail most of my life, and I was really unhappy and just partying and traveling, and it was great, no regrets there. But kind of like in my middle 20s, I decided, okay, there's more to life than just, you know, waiting for weekend and, you know, just getting high and being immersed in this like conditions of societies, what you should be doing, what you should be wearing, what you should be speaking. And I was just tired, you know, and decided to just, I was exhausted and I was sad and I was depleted of energy of giving my all to people who did not appreciate it. And that's one part of our society too, is like we're just here to work and just, you know, I'm not here to be exhausted and depleted of my energy. I'm here to anchor a new kind of sense of being and seeing and sharing. So I decided to quit my job, and I was in a very difficult, like sad, kind of depressed period of my life, and started meditating. And out of that, everything started to evolve. So I guess I took my freedom back, even though it was hard, even though it was risky, even though I had no money, I had no direction, I didn't know what to do with my life. I never drew in my life since years ago. So I just took a leap, you know, and I said, you know what? I don't know what it is, but I know I'm capable of something greater than what I'm doing now. And I totally surrendered, and I suffered for maybe a year or two, barely had food to eat, but I allowed myself to decondition myself from the imposed beliefs and programs of society telling me what I should be do working, and I just couldn't live like that. That was destroying my soul. I wanted my own time, my own freedom to do what brings me joy, you know? Mm-hmm. And since then, I just started drawing mandalas and meditating, and everything happened organically, and I'm still kind of deciphering what it all means and how it all came to be. But I think the big part of taking that jump to decondition ourselves from the imposed programs of society is taking risks and listening to what your soul really needs. Mm-hmm. And for me, it was freedom. So that's it. Yeah.
I know about that need for freedom. I've been in a similar place of risking, of like dropping out of society. And you're like, I just can't do this anymore. It's going to kill me.
Right. But like, it's just, it comes to the point that I cannot go on. Like, there must be, like, I think we're all here with a purpose. Mm-hmm. And my purpose is not just to work, be a productive member of society, but in a way that does not bring me joy, that I'm not utilizing my divinity, my gifts, mm-hmm. that can be beneficial to the healing of the world, you know? And we all hold that within. It's just a matter of what choices we make.
Yeah, and it's interesting you say that, is that, you know, you're doing the work without the joy, but that when you are working in a way that is aligned with joy, when you're putting effort or work. I don't know. I mean, I'm always struggling with words to say that aren't associated with work in that respect, but that represent that you still do and be and engage in activities that are, you know, valuable, but are aligned with joy. Then it's more full spectrum, honoring the full spectrum of what's possible, of what we're capable of as we discover this. And it's, yeah, just, I don't even know where I'm going with that, but but just like that full spectrum of potential starts to emerge when you set aside that limited view of it has to be this way and I'm just stuck like this forever. So yeah,
that's it. I'm not against production and contribution and work in general. That's not at all. It's about doing work that brings you joy with meaning and healing. And not just working to make money and pay off your bills and that's it. And you're stuck in the loop, right? Mm-hmm. It's about, you have a purpose here, and our life is about discovering that purpose. You know, it doesn't have to be anything like extraordinary, but our lives are. So every single thing about us is extraordinary, you know? So it's just
so
like
magic.
Yeah. So it's just about asking ourselves, like, I read this somewhere, am I enduring life or am I enjoying life? And that's what it is. And ask ourselves in every single aspect of our lives, in art, in conversations, in relationships, in work, like, does this bring me joy? And we don't really often do that.
Yeah. So then, you know, this is a philosophy I live by as well, but being a human, at some times I come up against moments of like not being able to see the joy. And these are often in moments of transformation where I've been exposed to something that expanded my edges of perception of, you know, whether it's some sort of ceremony or just some sudden insight of beauty or something. And even then, that insight of beauty can lead to this like transformation of, wow, am I living from joy or am I living from expectations and enduring? And I read something in your Instagram lately that was about consistency, and I feel like oftentimes we put there's so many hidden deep conditions in us, and one of them I feel that I resonated with and still do to some degree is that idea of you have to be consistent, and once you've made a choice, then stick with it no matter what. And that's sort of like, oh, you have to be consistent in order to be successful. You have to be consistent in this world. Like, that's kind of the machine world of, like, you got to be consistent. You got to show up predictable and expectable or whatever in some terms. But you had this lovely post about consistency, and you were like, you know what? I'm coming to a point where my consistency is no longer consistent in what it looks like on the outside, but consistent with staying aligned and staying attuned. So what is it you're aligning with and attuning to?
Well, currently I'm actually this rediscovering and that wisdom of the feminine within me. Because sometimes through art in the last 2 years, I came to a point now that I feel it's time for me to reinvent myself. Mm-hmm. So what I'm discovering within myself is the blockages that I've built even along the way of rediscovering myself. So there's layers within layers within layers. So I'm really currently just trying to dismantle these, like dissolve layer by layer. And what it means is distancing myself a bit from the virtual world while meditating. And for me, it's really all about meditation. There's mm-hmm. there's not too much to discuss because I try to sit with myself for a few hours a day and journal and just see what personal experiences are coming through and showing up that need healing and tending. So, I mean, I'm surrendering to silence these days, and I'm seeing that I'm seeking more alone time away from everybody, kind of retrieving back into myself to ascend a little higher and just dissolve the barriers that I've built around myself. And sometimes these barriers are not from society. Sometimes we impose things on our own. You know, so like mm-hmm. you mentioned, post is changing directions, is having the courage to say no and changing my mind. And being consistent in art is, you know, people expect you sometimes to do certain things and we think those expectations are maybe from others, maybe from ourselves too. So I'm just at the moment reinventing myself and seeing what else I'm capable of, investing in my studies and connecting to earth a bit deeper and taking some courses. So that's what it is.
Mm-hmm. And that alignment is that inner alignment, that inner voice, it sounds like.
But that's it. It's the mm-hmm. intuition that's guiding me. It's telling me, you know what, one chapter has ended. You bloomed within, you received the wisdom. Now you're going to apply it in a different way. And that way is not exactly evident yet. So the lesson is in surrendering and being with what is instead of what I'm expecting it to be. So, mm-hmm. yeah.
I like that. I call this space of when you know something is changing, but you don't know what the sort of emergence of it is yet. I like to call it the sacred void, and how, you know, just honoring that process of, okay, I'm not the same as I was, but I don't know what I am now. And like, how do I make it through this experience without
going crazy? it's like liminal spaces, and I think those are the most sacred spaces in life where you have to learn not to even anticipate, not to expect, and it's a complete surrender. And you always go from blissful to, you know, just like restlessness, and we just have to let it be and not try to control anything. And that's being an artist is in my way, like there's a lot of control that I'm learning to let go. So that's a big one.
Ooh, yeah, talk more about that, because, you know, what is the control and what's the alternative to the control?
Well, I think every artist has this control. You want, like I said earlier, taking my freedom back. So I will do what I want. I will create in any way, concept and expression that my soul wants. But there is that aspect of control that, you know, we attach to it, and you're not allowing that stream of consciousness to flow sometimes because you're so attached to things from the past, you know, and it's hard to sometimes free the imagination through this like constellations of control. And the alternative to that, again, it all cycles back to surrender. And just for me, again, is journaling, is creating art that's unknown even to me, is stepping into this sacred space that I want to create something new. I want to create colors. I want to taste and feel worlds that even I have never explored. So, and that can be scary. And that's where the control comes in, because it won't, like the ego wants you to stay uninvolved, right? It wants you to do the familiar. It wants you to follow the patterns. And that's how it feeds itself. But the moment I want to step into the new, there's that, you know, like resistance. And that's, we have to go beyond that wall, beyond the liminal space of surrender. And that's the alternative to control.
So beautifully put. Thank you.
Thank you.
So something that seems to have marked a turning point in your consciousness experience of expansion and whatnot is journeying with ayahuasca. When did you do this first, and what was your experience like? What did it open up?
Well, I was in my early 20s when I traveled through Brazil, actually, with, at that time, my husband. And we were really involved in this, like, psychedelic culture, just trying everything that came my way, really, like psychedelics, hallucinogens, and like, there's nothing that I haven't tried. I'll just leave it at that. and it was a wonderful time in my life. Until one day I was traveling to Brazil and I decided to do a solo trip. And I met this man who was reading a Carlos Castaneda book. And we were both actually reading the same book. And we were at this chill out stage at a festival, and we were reading the same book. We connected, and he was a apprentice to a shaman. So he invited me to come to this village called Capão in Chapada Diamantina in Brazil. And that's where I discovered ayahuasca for the first time. It changed my life completely, profoundly. And I was 20. When I first had contact with ayahuasca, and I felt Earth's breath synchronized with my own, you know, in this like nurturing arms of Gaia. And she gently guided me and healed parts of me I ignored for some time, you know, and left me with total clarity of like direction, unity, and tranquility. And since then, I knew that there's something larger than myself, that I have a responsibility, that I have a lot of healing to do on my own. And when I came back to Toronto, my whole world just kind of fell apart, you know. And this was the teaching of ayahuasca for me. So since then, I mean, that's a long story, but since then, almost, you know, 10 years ago, the sacred brew of plant spirits has been an integral part of my life. It's like a pure connection of bringing awareness to my potential, and with always like promise of like a balanced and renewed life. So I think once I tapped into the plant sacred medicine, I felt and still feel the connection to the deepest aspects of nature that I don't think are possible in the waking states of consciousness.
Wow.
Yeah, so that was the first time I actually drank ayahuasca. I had a really, I felt, I traveled back to my mother's womb, and I could feel her pain. Like, I could feel the pain of so many women, of this ancestral shame, and I cried for almost 4 hours. There was just tears. I couldn't understand everything at that time, right? Yeah. And even 10 years later, I'm just discovering now what it all had meant. But I felt the pain of my mother and so many mothers before, and I realized the way has been paved for us, and this generation now has us. We have the possibility to create new paradigms, to dismantle the everything that's been imposed on us, and create a new world. And the plants led me to that discovery, you know, and I realized that all the wisdom nature carries, all the wisdom that, yeah, that nature carries, I also carry within, and we all do. So I'm all trees and plants and streams and seeds, and I'm as much as them as they are me.
Mm. Wow. And is it still a practice you partake of, or?
It is. I try to sit in ceremony at least once or twice a year. I haven't done it in the last year because the business really took off. So I'm trying to balance work and business and life. So, but I definitely feel her call now. She visits me in dreams, and we have a very intimate and ineffable communication. So yes, I try to tap into that wisdom and to invite the spirits as well into my, you know, astral kind of travels as well. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah. And what other kind of ancestral healing or shame have you witnessed in these experiences or connected to?
It's really hard to put it like directly in words, because going back now to this ayahuasca moment, I was an embryo in my mother's womb, and I could feel her blockages of expression, of sexuality, of freedom, of patriarchy that were imposed on her. And I mean, I'm not sure if you're familiar, but, or if you've seen through my Instagram, but I grew up in a war. Mm-hmm. So, my mother is a war survival, my father, and so I could feel all these layers of suffering, and in her body, in the waters in which I was created, you know. So it's hard to correctly put it into words, but I could just feel these distant memories of pain that I still feel, and I try to kind of crystallize it through another feelings in my heart.
Right. And one of my teachers, Grandmother Karina, who's been on the show many times, says all wounds are womb wounds that are passed down through our mothers and grandmothers, and not at their fault, but just at, you know, that transmission of what they've experienced from life and from society, and transmitting that to their little babies in their wombs. And
yeah, exactly. And it's nobody's fault.
Right.
It's just, again, that's just where and what time we came into life, and the, you know, the generations that were imposed, and the directions of life that were imposed on us. So I really kind of, I feel it even goes deeper than that. It's taking, for now, it's just taking our freedom back, and through art, when it comes to, let's say, like nudity and body, and just sending that message out in the world, which was part of the shame before and still is, that women are not merely existing for sexual service to men, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just like one aspect of the shame that we carry around our nudity and our bodies, and you know, and to me, being nude is just the most natural, comfortable being with myself, and you know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's there's just so much. But
especially being nude in water feels so good. That back to that womb space, you know, skinny divine is the best.
Well, yeah, it's just like you feel like you're making love to every aspect of nature.
You know? Yeah. So I want to ask you this then, and see, just to see your perspective on this, because there's so much life affirmation of life force and healing in your messages and in your art and in the spiritual community in general. And how do you perceive this in the face of destruction and fear also being creations of the divine and of us also being at oneness with those things too? Like, how do you exist with these paradoxes, and what drives you to choose life affirming, or do you? Am I making an assumption here?
No, definitely not. I think, well, I can use an analogy between like humans and Earth. I feel that just because I create spiritual or joyful or healing art, that doesn't mean, like, a lot of people sometimes ask me, oh, you know, you must be like this guru or always happy, but like that's exactly opposite, you know. Because I've been through a lot of pain, it's because I've survived war, it's because I still carry a lot of pain and shame and so much inside of me, but I'm choosing to see a higher perspective. I know that there's more to that. I know that there's that we are not here to be victims of our own choosing or imposed conditions. I think I like to kind of pierce the veils and layers. I'm really into like just diving deeper into these like magic rooms of ourselves. Mm. So, and just like plants, just like trees. I mean, if you look at that existence, their existence, they're symbols of soul again. And the only way for them to be is to be vulnerable. And I think that's what I choose in this way, to be vulnerable, even amidst destruction, even amidst the pain and the gloomy days or whatnot. I still choose to be seen because I know there are others out there that can benefit from that healing. And I don't want to feel alone, and I know others don't want to feel alone. And when we open ourselves to that beauty of being seen, just again, like plants, they're always exposed to danger, but they cannot bend the divine law, you know? Mm. Like, they're exposed to everything that life throws at them, but they still choose to grow. And they still choose to transmute light into life. Mm-hmm. And that's the consciousness that I want to tap into, is the consciousness of the plants. I want to transmute the density of feelings, the heaviness of life, and create light, and create life through light, and then consciousness through life. Mm. So, yeah, there's something along those lines.
That's beautiful. I feel like someone ought to sample that and like make a remix and make a song.
Yeah, remix.
So what kind of stories, you know, I know you've mentioned like your connection with the plants and with spirit is you know, your vision, you receive your images through visions and meditations and dreams and such. But at the same time, you've also written some of these stories, and I'm wondering if you're in your, you know, in your daily life or just in your life in general, whatever frequency it might be, what kind of stories the plants tell you, or what is it they're saying? Are they saying something to you?
Well, yeah, I mean, everything I try to express through my art and symbolic imagery is really the communication of the plants. And I like to use symbolism a lot in my work. So the plants communicate to me the messages of the unseen. And that unseen is the symbolism. So I like to place it in my art for that kind of immediate effect, immediate transformation. And so if you notice, maybe I use a lot of, like, I'll probably use moon and rainbows and mm-hmm. So those are the messages that, the symbols that plants want to communicate with the humanity, right? The moon, the symbol of the feminine, the goddess, you know, representing the rhythm of time and the concept of cycles, and the moon evokes that world of dreams and imagination and the unconscious. So I think that's what the plants want to communicate, that we need to embody the nature. We don't need to connect to nature. We have to find the nature within us. And we need to look deeper. We need to see beyond ordinary perceptions, because consciousness exists in everything. And we just need to just be with each other and share and be kind and spread love. And I think, yeah, this might sound cliche or whatnot, but those are the messages of plants. Be seen, be vulnerable, keep growing, transmit and emit the light, mm-hmm. and see what comes from there. Because within each one of us, there's a sacred seed that, you know, contains a potential for healing of the world. And I believe in maybe years from now that we can totally transform the earth into this, you know, new earth of love and compassion and kindness, but it really starts in our own selves. So yeah, so that's what they communicate through the symbolism in my work. Like, as I said, moon, tap into that hidden and intimate emotion and sensation of yourself, that darker side of nature. Don't ignore it, because within the darkness is really your potential for healing and deeper seeing. And then the rainbows, for example, in Hindu and Buddhist tantra, it is said that like rainbows represent those who surpass the earthly ties, and rainbows are really rainbow body, right? If rainbows are bodies of light, and that is seen as the ultimate ascension, oneness. Light is oneness. So there's just many, many, many messages that I try to just depict through symbolism, and that may be translated differently to each viewer, right? But I think the symbolism is immediate, where the words can get lost in translation. And we don't have to necessarily understand the imagery right away, yeah. but when we see it, it's embedded in our being, and it can take time, days or months, until we really understand what that symbol meant to us at that time. So, and then the inner eye, there's the gate to inner realms and spaces of higher consciousness and et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love listening to you describe your symbols in your art. yeah, that, and I love that the rainbows, the colors, the, I love how you depict plants with hands and feet, and how that, and with eyes often, and then with your humans, they have plants for heads, and they'll, you know, they'll be holding, the humans and plants will be holding hands or some such connection like that. And I love how you've just given these plants these human qualities in a way that help us see that inherent connection that already exists. It's like through that imagery, that connection is able to be amplified, and a greater understanding comes into, like, oh my God, that's why I love plants so much. Because there's so many people that love plants, but they can't always, that, like, what you're doing is taking it to that deeper level of behind the physical of, like, well, hey, maybe here's a little more to explore about your love of plants. Like,
the eye can see.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. In Sanskrit also, there's really no distinction between like human consciousness and plant consciousness. And that's what I've discovered through my ayahuasca healing and ceremonies, right? That we're really one. And at the end, we return back to earth, and, you know, and we grow vertically. That's, I just love that. That we grow
vertically. Yeah.
That, I'll just leave it at that. You know, yeah. Plants and us, we grow vertically, we receive nourishment from above and below. And interesting thing, though, is that the man, us, we stop growing at a certain point, but the plants, they continue to grow until they die, right? Mm-hmm. And I look at plants as this, the Buddha nature, right? And that's the consciousness that I want to merge with. And I want people to realize that that's who they are. That's what we all are. We all contain that Buddha nature of the plants within, because they're really just there to serve. And I think that is maybe one way of looking at the meaning of our life, is we're here to serve. Plants serve us in every aspect of our way, you know? Mm-hmm. So how do we serve humanity? How do we serve the earth? And how do we serve the plants back? And yeah, so there's just, I look at them as Buddha nature, as little Buddhas, and just being here of service to us. And to me, there's no more divine consciousness than that. And that's what I try to translate into my art, so people see that they carry that divinity within.
Mm. And you just gave me an insight when you said, we stop growing, but plants just keep growing, because it's like, oh my God, maybe that's why I'm obsessed with having long hair. Like, your hair keeps growing, and it represents that continual evolution and life force. I never saw it in that way, so thank you for that.
Yeah, very welcome.
Yeah. So, did you always love plants?
I think I did. I just never gave them attention that I do now. I grew up in a tiny town in Eastern Europe, in the Balkan Peninsula, called Varaš. And I'm very happy and honored to have my grandmother at that time and my mother, who always encouraged me to be nude and to walk barefoot and tend their garden. And so I was always surrounded by plants and rivers and streams and mountains. That was our way of life until I came here and I was separated from that and I started living the city life. So yeah. there was a disconnect until I traveled back to the Amazon and tried ayahuasca, who reconnected me to that innate part of myself that I had to, you know, just translate back into my life again. And it's just a spiral, right? I had to go. Yeah, and it just took me back to realize that those are my roots, and within those roots, there's a huge potential of sprouting seeds. So going back to the beginnings, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, yeah, I love plants, I love earth, I love, and I'm still learning how to, you know, assimilate all that, not just through my art, but now moving away from just the that ineffable and tangible reality, but how can I bring it into the physical and practical way that's not necessarily only art, but how do I move forward and work directly with earth now? So,
like,
that's
gardening, is that your
gardening would be, I'm not particularly like interested in gardening, but I am interested in working with ayahuasca, so I think that might be the next step, working with the actual medicine of the earth. But gardening would definitely be beautiful too.
Yeah, and something that's interesting is I'm not putting down gardening. I love gardening, but gardening is a very human centric form of connecting with nature versus humans going into the wilderness and protecting the wilderness and interacting with that. It's like two different sides, and like what and where on the spectrum do you feel most called to go at any time? And, you know, just kind of being aware of that.
Yeah, exactly. People. And there's so many different ways that we can tap and connect into nature. Right. All of the ways are beautiful. It's just we have to find our own way. So right. That's what I'm doing now. There was art and there's still art, but I feel like I'm ready for something else.
Ooh, well, I can't wait to see what that something else is.
Yeah, me too. It's waiting already. Come on.
hurry. So, something I read, I don't know if it was on your website or on Instagram, but you were talking about your inner child and learning to listen once again to that inner child. And we've definitely touched on aspects of that without saying it such through this conversation. But I want to explicitly ask you if there are ways that you nurture that inner child, or what, you know, what's that relationship look like today?
Well, yeah, I think nurturing my inner child is creating art.
Yeah.
And did not have much of a childhood, really. As I said, I grew up in a war, so this is one of the ways for me to recover that playful existence and bring it forward into this reality that I did not have a chance to explore when I was young, right? So I think all of that stems from, again, our suppressions and inabilities to fully express ourselves at certain stages of our lives. And I didn't get that chance when I was a child, so now I'm tending to it and I'm creating art. So I think art is a direct link to actually connecting to that inner child and the wisdom of the ancestors and grandmothers in the earth, right? So I think it's just a matter for me now is, again, bringing that joy into everything I'm doing, not taking myself seriously and not attaching myself to any identity, which children don't do, right? But adults do. So that's been a practice in my life, not to attach myself to identity of an artist or of a healer or of a person. I'm just here, I'm being, and I'm aware. Now, in what shape, form, color, or sound, that changes as I grow. But tending to that inner child is really giving a finger to society, you know? Because in order, it's kind of like in order to become adult, we're taught we have to grow up and carry these intellectual conversations all the time. And everything is about seeming, it's not about being, you know? And we're told to keep our childish behaviors away. And I'm not talking about being immature and, you know, an idiot. I'm just talking about playing and enjoying and discovering and being in awe and wonder of the workings of the universe and ourselves and our relationships and you know, just having that thirst for wonder and awe and playfulness and innocence, really. When that's taken away from adults, that's, you know, we're abandoning that beauty and freedom of an open mind. And that's where I'm at now. And that's how I tend to my inner child, is not having identities. Even when I do, I'm not saying I don't, but I'm piercing those veils of densities of my psyche, right? And realizing what I've built and what no longer serves me, and how can I bring forth my inner child and keep that authentic balance of my life, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Beautiful. And I feel like you've just, I love that you love freedom and beauty, because I'm like, yeah, dream freedom, beauty. That's what it's all about, y'all.
I just got that. I'm like, sounds familiar, but it's really about everything in life, I think, for me, and I hope to bring that forth through my art, is a conscious communication with our inner child, is being playful and just enjoying life. And yeah, that doesn't mean that we're not going to have things come our way and sorrows and pains and difficulties and obstacles. We will, that's life, but it's just one part of life. We don't have to identify with parts of our life. We can accept it all to be this like colorful rainbow, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's what we are. We're this, again, beings of light, of rainbow, and we can just accept all these concepts and contexts and experiences to penetrate us, but we don't have to identify with any of those. And that's, children don't do that. They don't identify. And it's just important we find the time to do what we love, to follow our passions, and just to explore who we are as humans here on Earth, you know? Mm-hmm. Do we laugh daily? Are we being silly, or are we just keeping up the persona so others can have, you know, opinions of us? It's just, can you just be silly and stupid sometimes and not care what somebody will think and not criticize yourself after? Because I used to do that, and I still do, and that's why I can say these things, and I'm working on it. But it's very debilitating when you're trying to keep up with something that it's like, why am I even doing this, you know? Mm-hmm. Are you being playful and silly from time to time? Like, how much time per day do you spend with your adult self, and how much time with your inner child?
Right. Love it. Love it. Yes. So let's go back to that question I asked you in the beginning.
Okay, I'm glad.
What would you ask yourself?
What would I ask I think that's something I would probably need more.
Need more time.
Something like now in my mind, there's just like these beams of, just like this and this and that. And I would like to ask myself, how can I step out of myself further? How can I let go of my like subjective consciousness? And how can I be of greater service? I think that's actually like a question that I consistently ask myself too. And sometimes we don't have to have the answers really, and we all do what we can with what we have, right? But what else is there? How, like, that question always comes up. How can I be of greater service? That I really step outside of myself, that I'm not trying to validate myself, or I'm not trying to expose myself, that it's not about myself. And in any way of receiving money, or like just be completely selfless. And I don't know if that's possible, I'm not sure. But this is a question that comes up. How can I do unconditional, like things from like unconditional source of love, that like I let go of my own needs and my own, I'm not saying to ignore my needs and to ignore, but to step into the zone of being fully, presently, and unconditionally there for others. Yeah.
And I feel like I hear inherent in your question is how can you be of service to the divine as it flows through you and others? If I'm wrong,
Yeah.
tell me, but that's just what I.
No, it's all. There's so many different layers of that. So yeah, it's everything works. Everything is yes. So
Everything is yes.
yes. So how do we tap into that source of like going beyond ourselves,
Yeah. And what does that all mean? And what does that look like? You
That's
know,
what I know.
that might be a good topic for a secret episode. Just getting into more of what does being of service look like, or how do you stay attuned to and aligned with that day to day and trust that as it might show up through its inconsistencies or whatever it is, in the face of, because sometimes it can show up in direct opposition to what you think you need to do to succeed. And that's when you have to have faith and trust. And that's perhaps
Exactly.
something we can talk more about.
Yeah, that's really good. Great, actually, question.
See, I knew there was, I was like, what? I was like, I've never asked this question before, but I guess I'll do it. So there it is. I love
Give
it.
me
Thanks.
a few hours, and then we'll come back.
Sure. That's funny. So, how can people connect with you? And also, I want to also mention, I just saw on your Insti that your Alchemy of Imagination book is back in stock, where you talk more about your journey. And it's here's to quote you, it says, your personal story of your silent union with Earth in order to inspire the reader's creative and transformational journey, and hopefully spark the light within their soul, so they too are able to bring forth their dreams into the physical realm. So that sounds beautiful. And that book that you have written and shared more of your story is now back in stock, so listeners can go check out that book and get super mega inspired. And tell us where else people can find you and what you offer, because you've art and books and all kinds of stuff, so.
Well, yeah, it's basically have my Instagram account, so it's at Meraklabe, and my website www.meraklabe.ca, where I sell my artworks, prints and originals, books, and sometimes totes, but that's not gonna last long. I try to concentrate on selling art mainly. They're kind of, as I said, vehicles of ascension. So when people carry them in their homes, they can feel that energy of transformation and divination too. So that's it. It's my Instagram and my website. I'm working on a few new projects at the moment and working on a new book. So
Cool.
that's gonna, yeah. And that's gonna be ready next couple of months. And I'll share more details on Instagram when the time comes. So yeah.
Wonderful. Thank you. And just for people, for listeners, Merakalabe, Merakalabbe, and that's on Instagram and .ca for the website. So thank you so much, Vanya. It's really a joy to talk with you, and always a pleasure to gaze upon your art and allow it to have that effect that you've imbued into it. It's truly delightful.
Thank
So,
you so much, Natalie. It's
yeah.
definitely my pleasure and honor. And I love your podcast. I listen to it when I draw sometimes. It's an honor to be here.
Oh, that's awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening. I hope that you enjoyed this show. And if you aren't already following Vanya on Instagram, go check her out, Merakalabbe, Merakalabe, and check out her art. And I invite you all to come check out this secret episode. It's free, dreamfreedombeauty.com/secret. And can dive into our little secret topic that we talk about, and you'll have to go over there to find out what it is. And I just want to say a huge thank you if you're a new listener. Thank you for checking us out. If you enjoyed this conversation, I'm sure there are many other conversations that you will enjoy. So I invite you to hit subscribe and check out a few other guests that I've had on the show, and feel free to reach out and suggest a guest if there's someone you'd really like me to interview. And as always, I hope you all have a beautiful week. I hope you have many amazing epiphanies, and that things make sense to you where they were once confused, and that your dreams come true and everything's just awesome, even when it's in the moments of why am I here and what am I doing? I hope you can reach that moment of this is awesome anyways, and let's all just enjoy this embodiment experience. So many blessings on this week, and I'll be back next week with another guest.